The following sermon was presented at the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Please follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to find out whether these teachings are true and accurate. If you have any questions or concerns, you can find our contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. And now to the sermon.
You don't misunderstand my words.
One of those words is water.
Water is how we pronounce water. And I have to actually think about that before I can say it. Water. It doesn't come out right when I say it, but that's
how you pronounce it. We always said water. You put water in the radiator.
I know that doesn't make sense either, but that's what we did.
Well, this is the word that you spell this way. And you pronounce it oil. That's all.
Oh. So that's important for tonight's lesson. That's all we'll do with that, but that's important for us to know. I think most of us will remember and recall a couple of things in relationship to our lesson. Some of us remember these lines. I forget exactly how that went, but there was a shortage of oil. There was an oil crisis. And the crisis was such that if you had a certain number of license plate, you'd go on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And if you had another license plate, you'd go Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. You couldn't just get gasoline whenever you wanted to. Now, young people, can you believe that? I mean, that's just how it was. And, of course, I guess getting a little bit closer to some things that have happened, really the Gulf War and various things like that, watching those oil wells. And I think all of us have been affected by gas prices. What I want to deal with is an oil crisis this evening, but not of this sort. But that will help you to think about the lesson for this evening. Look over at Matthew 25. I'm in verse 1. I'm going to go down to verse 13. This, again, like this morning's lesson, pretty easy. You could stay in the book of Matthew. We'll go to 1 Peter. And there'll be a few other passages that I'll share with you, but you could pretty well follow along rather easily with those two outlooks, and if you want to just mark those two areas. So here it is, Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or going out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11, Afterward came also the other virgins, the ones who did not have any oil, or was going out, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What I want us to deal with this evening is a spiritual oil crisis. These 5 foolish, and exactly who they are, and exactly what is going on. I can't think of a more applicable parable of all the ones that we could study, and have studied up to this point, than this one for us. Because this relates to us, and we need to consider. We recognize, of course, a parable, and this fits in. We won't have to spend a lot of time talking about taking something that is common, something that is understood, like a marriage feast, and these virgins trimming their lamps, and these various things were common to this culture, and using that to teach a spiritual lesson. That's exactly what is going on here. Now, the application and the content of what's taking place is the end of the world. Let me show you that. Go to Matthew 24 and verse 36. Here in this context, Jesus answers part of that question that was asked and talks about the end. But of that day and hour, the judgment, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Go down to verse 48 and we'll read down to, he gives another parable in between there. He's going to read down to verse 51. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, we'll come back to that, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken,
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then, look at chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. So after his return is what we're talking about. That's the occasion that's under consideration. Now, with that in mind, think of all the symbolism that is represented in this particular parable. You've got this tarrying of the bridegroom tarried. Well, the delay of our Lord's return, God desires that all men would repent. And so everything continues, and it's that God longs for all men to repent. The sleeping, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, talks about those who slumbered and those who slept, that idea. The cry, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God comes to mind when you think about that. The marriage door, that certainly makes sense in terms of Jesus. I am the door, John 10 and verse 9. He could shut. The opportunity is gone at whatever moment those things take place that the Father has determined. And then this trimming of the lamps. That's really what I want us to focus in on. This is the examination of ourselves, the examination of those things that we must be careful about. So this is all about the end of time. This is all about judgment. This is all about the Lord's return. So get it. The people we're talking about here are those of Revelation 1 and verse 5. They've been washed in the blood. If you're a child of God tonight, you've heard the gospel, you believe it with all of your heart, you've repented of your sins, you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you've been baptized into Christ, then you too have been washed in the blood. You are one of these in this parable. That's why I say it's so applicable to us. And Revelation 2 and verse 5, faithful till death. So the idea of being faithful, even in the face of death, comes to mind here as well. All these virgins, I want you to understand, are whiter than snow at their conversion, just like you and I. And now we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then the return of the Lord takes place. So isn't this very applicable to us? And there's some lessons here that you and I need to get settled clearly in our hearts so that we don't slip back into the world, so that we aren't pulled away from that which is most important in our lives. So think with me, they're all virgins. Isn't that how they're described? What an applicable description of those who are serving God. They're a virgin. They're not contaminated with the world is the idea. So these folks are not involved in spiritual adultery. We're not talking about idolaters. We're not talking about those who are caught up in the world. This really is relating to some who are foolish and some who are wise among those who are all virgins. Now there's why it hits so close to home, you see. If you're interested in a passage related to that, look at 1 Peter 4, verse 17 and 18. One of the passages, you know, I don't know how you are, but I tremble sometimes when I read my Bible. And maybe you do as well. Or maybe as you're sitting there, sometimes, you know, you get that, and you take your breath, and that truth hits you pretty hard. Well, that's how this lesson does, if you're listening tonight. Listen to verse 17 and 18. These passages do that. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So it's beginning at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? There is much work to do in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a tremendous commitment to be made. So herein is a spiritual oil crisis. Yes, I said oil. But now you know what I'm talking about. Okay. A spiritual oil crisis. Those who are foolish. Not evil deeds. Not outward openly denying the Lord. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, that's easy to mark as sin, isn't it? That's an easy issue to deal with. What we're dealing with here is a different group of people. These are not activities that they're involved in. These are activities they've been negligent in, that they have left undone. and they're going to give answer for it. Oh, that ought to wake you up. On a Sunday evening, that ought to wake you up and get you stirred up just a little bit. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Peter, the first chapter. This is who we're talking about. We all know, verse 3 beginning, according as His divine power, that is the divine power of God, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, spiritual life, and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, talking about brethren here, that lack these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. That's a myopic condition. That's a problem with the eyes. And I understand it quite well because I can see quite well up close. But if you see me driving, those sunglasses are a prescription, by the way. And if you see me driving at night, I'm wearing glasses. The reason is because I can't see far away. I used to think something was wrong with the highway signs. That's how I dealt with it as a young man. Isn't that funny? You know, I told Cheryl, I said, boy, all these signs out here are messed up. Pride's a funny thing. But no, it was my eyes. I couldn't see afar off. Well, you can understand the application spiritually here. They've forgotten things that are important. They've lost sight of those things. So thinking back to the parable in Matthew 25, you've got the faithful who are vigilant and self-denying and diligent, and they're adding to their faith these things. And they're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are the foolish who are negligent and blind and short-sighted and slothful, and they're forgetting. So there are three valuable lessons here in this parable that I want us to get. Take with us into our week and think about it as children of God. This spiritual oil crisis, standing before the Lord in judgment. One thing you need to realize is that outward religious activities are not enough. They simply are not enough. Yes, we need to be involved in outward religious activities, but it's supposed to come from a desire that grows up from within. Now, maybe at first we kind of learn it because we kind of get this sense that we're supposed to be here for worship service. But that is supposed to, over time, grow into a desire, a compelling desire. I want to be here. I want to be with my brethren. I want to study God's Word. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And see, there's a vast difference in that. So look at Matthew 25, verse 1 again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now again, I remind you, these look identical. They would be wearing the same attire. They would have the same vessels, the same appearance, the same access to the same oil. They are all alike in that sense. They all have knowledge that the bridegroom could come at any time. They all know this. They know at any moment that they could expect to enter into eternity. They know this. But five are wise, and five are foolish. None of them expect to stand outside sobbing, Lord, Lord, open to us. Not this group. You see, these aren't the ones living in adultery. These aren't the ones who are caught up in drunkenness. These aren't the ones who are carousing and living a wild life. These are virgins. All of them are. You see why this applies to us? All intend to go to heaven. Outwardly, they seem to appear to be the same. But look at verses 2 through 4. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So this oil is within them in some way. Some don't have it and some do. That's the whole gist of this. So what's these lamps with oil? Well, look over at Matthew 23. We talked about this just a little bit. I can't remember, Tim, if it was in your class or in the Wednesday night class, but it's come up a couple of times. Look at Matthew 23. I want to begin reading at verse 25. Now, this is to the Pharisees. But this is a problem that we could slip into, and we have to be careful and guard against this. Look at what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. It's hypocrisis is the word. They would have these stages, and as best as they could, they had the acoustics designed so that their voices would carry up into the upper stands of these stages. But oftentimes they would wear a mask. And within that mask, there was what we would call a bullhorn that was built into it. So the masks were rather large. And they could shout through that so that everyone could hear. Well, you see, they're putting on a mask. And then they're shouting so that everyone... And they're play acting on the stage. That's a good definition of a hypocrite. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And the Lord sees. Lord. That's what He sees. He knows what's in your container and what isn't in your container. Now your lamp might look exactly like everyone else's lamp. And you might act just like everyone else. But the Lord knows how much oil is in there. That's what this parable is all about. So, what are we talking about when we're talking about spiritual? Here it is. A deep conviction. Faith converting the soul, the mind, the thinking. Lasting and real change. Genuine change. Not just going through the motions. Not just some form of godliness. Go ahead and read 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, Tim.
Having the form of godliness, but not denying its power, and from such people turn away.
Yeah, they deny the power of godliness, but they have a form of it. That would describe someone who doesn't have, you know, those foolish might be described that way. They have a form of godliness. You see. The bridegroom returns, and we find out that the outward is not enough, don't we? This is one of the saddest parables that you can read in the New Testament. Look at verse 11 and 12. Afterward came also the other virgins. These are the ones who did not have oil and had to go into town and buy it, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I thought I was the Lord's. And to hear, I know you not, tells me that they didn't really know Him like they thought they did. They really didn't understand what Christianity was all about. Now here's the acid test. You know what an acid test is? This is going to tell whether or not something is genuine. That's what we mean by an acid test. So here it is. Here's the question. Do you really desire, deep down, to be pure? You see, that takes care of all these other questions. Can I drink? Can I drink wine? If somebody really wants to be pure, has studied this and studied it hard, they're not even thinking, do I have to be here on Wednesday night? You see, they've dealt with all that. They really want to be pure. So follow along with me. We'll stay in the book of Matthew. Look over at Matthew, the 5th chapter. Look at what it says in verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. We're going to go through several of these passages rather quickly. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Made that another lesson. Look over Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you really desire to be pure? Look over Matthew 12, verse 34 and 35. I challenge all of us, me included. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's a heart issue. Look over at Matthew 15 in verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. You see, those are outward activities. Do you mean to tell me someone could be praising God, praying to God, singing praises to God, honoring God with their lips and with their mouth? And look, but their heart is far from me. Okay, that's the group he just described. So it's very possible to fall into that. And we don't want to fall into that circumstance. Look down at verse 18 and 19 in this chapter 15. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so forth. Now you wonder, how does that all relate to what you're talking about tonight, Dave? Well, look over at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, part of where we started. And look at what that evil servant is saying. Look at what got him in so much trouble with the Lord. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. I've got plenty of time. The Lord's not coming tonight. No reason for me to look up at the sky on the way home. The Lord's not coming. I'm just going to turn on that boob tube and watch my favorite program. Or I'm going to go into the day tomorrow and I don't need to give thought to the Lord. I can just live my life the way I want to. And when Wednesday rolls around or Sunday rolls around, I'll go ahead and go through some activities. But I'm not really going to be pure in my heart, because the Lord delays his coming. I'm not going to mention that to anyone, you see. That's a thought process. And so the Lord reveals this to us. If you're outward only, let me suggest to you, here's how you talk. You're always asking the question, do I have to? Do I have to? Tim, do I have to participate? Do I have to lead singing? Do I have to wait on the Lord's Supper? Do I have to pick up at the building? Do I have to prepare the Lord's Supper? Now, I know we all have different talents, different things, but you understand where I'm going with that. I'm just throwing out some examples. There are many more ways you could serve God. But all of us, listen to me, all of us have a place at this congregation where we can serve God. That's the first thing. That's a totally different lesson. But we need to understand that. We need to look for what that place is. The pure know this and they get this because they're saying, what can I do? What can I do? I want to do something in service to the Lord. What can I do? Maybe it's hand a visitor. A car. You know, Clarence Davis, he's dead and gone. A dear friend that passed on. When he passed on, it hurt us greatly. But Clarence, he wasn't going to teach a class. He would tell you, he just didn't have a knack for it. He couldn't wait on the Lord. So he just, any of those public things, as a man that we might normally think of, Clarence just, but you know what he could do? He'd stand there at the back. And I tell you, if a visitor came in, man, he offered them a handshake and a smile and a visitor's card and made them feel welcome. And you knew when Clarence was not in services. There is something that we can all do. And you see, the difference was, he didn't just say, I can't do anything and sit on his hands. He was pure in heart. I want to do. What can I do? What can I do? You see, that spiritual oil burns like desire within us to do right, to practice righteousness, to know the truth and to practice it, whatever it takes. And so we open up God's Word, we examine our life, we trim our lamps, the oil burns away sin, we put off the old man, we put on the new, and we think about passages like this. Now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, Colossians 3 and verse 10. Isn't that beautiful? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. This is what it's all about, brethren. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8 and verse 29. That's what this is all about. So that you are conformed to the very image of God's Son. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, talking about Moses, the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, he came down and he had this glow about it. He was changed. And now it's talking about us. He was glorified through that process, that interaction with God. And it's telling us that as we interact with God's Word, we look into it, we're changed into the same image we see there, the glory of the Lord. And so from glory to glory, you see, conformed. And we're changed. Forevermore. Well, look at Matthew 25. Look at what it says in verse 8 and 9. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You know, when I first read that, as a young Christian, I thought, how insensitive. You know, aren't we taught to share, to love one another? Why didn't they just take some of their oil and give it to them? That seemed like the Christ-like thing to do. Are they just that uncaring? Are they that cold? No. They understand the fact that you and I need to understand. And the fact very simply is this. There are some things that you cannot borrow. There are some things you cannot borrow. And as much as I might desire to give it to you, I cannot give it to you. And that's part of the lesson of the parable. There are some things within me that I can't transfer to you. As much as I would like to, I simply cannot. You must acquire them for yourselves. These virgins knew that. Let me suggest to you some things you cannot borrow. You cannot borrow faithfulness to God. You can't get it from your wife. You can't get it from your brethren. You can't get it from your parents. You have got to have that for yourselves. You see, that's all. Dedication to the church. Love of the kingdom. Loyalty to this local work. You see, you can't, I might have it. I might have abundant, but I can't give that to you. You have got to get that. You've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and get there. You see. Knowledge of God's Word. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Not to men. Did you notice that? It's unto God. But it's yourselves. So Dave can't do your studying for you. And even if I desired to do that, even if I thought I could somehow do that, the Bible was clear, I can't. You see. A godly example. Take heed to yourself. Timothy was told. That's what we need to do. Take heed to ourselves. Service to our Lord. You think about this one for a moment. Our service to our Lord. You think about, we've mentioned this several times, the talents in Matthew 25. One had five, one had two, one had one. And that just tells us different degrees of abilities and service. And I know talents is used there and it's money. I get that. But think of it in terms of abilities. That's fine. And how we might serve the Lord. And there's one who has one talent. No shame in that. That one, though, needs to be dedicated in service to the Lord. Instead, out of fear, he went and buried it in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. The Lord wasn't pleased with that. Not at all. Time and opportunity. I can't give you. You know, here's the interesting thing about that is, I'm going to have opportunity to talk with people. If the Lord doesn't come and time continues, then I'm going to have opportunity to talk with people. There are going to be moments of opportunity. But they're not going to be the same as your moments of opportunity this week. You're going to have opportunities too. You're going to have time also. And so you can't say, well, Dave talked to four people this week about the gospel. Check that one off my list. Good, Dave did it. Now, I'm not saying that you think that way, but we can't allow ourselves to slip into that kind of notion. As God's people, we need to be careful about that. So with all that, why do you attend all the services? You see. Why do you visit the sick? Why do you care for the homeless? And widows, why are you so dedicated? And why do you study? Why are you so faithful? If the answer is anything but dedication and commitment to the Lord, then you're thinking about this all wrong. And we need to reconsider what we're doing as Christians. You see, sometimes I think maybe you're like me. All you want to do is get saved. And I get that. I understand the focus. I was so enamored with my sin, so clear to me how black it was, and then to be freed of all that sin. And then the first time I start to hear lessons like this, whoa, it's not done. I just started this lifetime journey of serving God. And there has to be a change within me. And so I ought to be able to look back. Now, I can look back a long way. You know, 30 years, 35 years, I could see difference, you know. But what about from this year to last year? This week to last week? You see, we can get caught up in just kind of plugging along and just thinking everything's fine. And we have to be careful about those things. Our faithfulness will count. And our deeds are reflected by that spiritual oil supply within us. So again, it's that deep conviction. It's that inward devotion to God. Now let me make one other point here very quickly. And it's about spiritual oil and good stewardship. We have got to learn as God's people there are some things that we simply cannot do. I have had to learn some of this the hard way. Knowing when and how to say no takes self-control and wisdom. I hope you don't have to live to be 56, 57 years old to figure this out. Young people, take heed. Learn it now. There are times to say no. We have to say no when an activity jeopardizes our relationship with God. Isn't that simple? Now, you're smart people. You can figure that out. If this activity jeopardizes my relationship with God, or even if it might, my answer is no at the start. I'm not involved in it. We have to say no when we cannot afford to be as generous as we might like. Give it all away. Well, that's kind of foolish too. We have to say no when our help is enabling. You know, we learned this in this generation, the idea of an enabler. I've got a brother who is a crack addict. And I know exactly what this is all about. And if you met him, he is very charming. You might even put him up in a spare bedroom, only to find things like your DVD player missing, and your TV missing, and money missing, and him denying everything. We have to say no when our help is enabling and contributing to the destructive behavior of others. And I tell you, that's the hardest one up there. But there are times when we must do that. This parable drives home the old saying. You remember this? You heard this? A lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. That lady called me one time over there in Murray. And yeah, I was studying, and she had called the night before, and she said she had run out of money. She couldn't pay any more on the hotel that she was at. I called the hotel, talked to them before, and I told them, you know, I'll bring my credit card by, and we'll take care of it. Just let her stay one more night. But she needed a ride to get to Paducah. And I told her, boy, are you in luck. I am going to Paducah. I am leaving at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning to get to Paducah. I've got an 8 o'clock appointment. She said, that doesn't work for me. I can maybe leave about 10 o'clock. I said, no, ma'am. Your ride leaves at 7 o'clock. And you can either take it or you can walk to Paducah. And that may sound mean, but that is exactly what I'm talking about. There are some things that people need to hear. And a lack of preparation on their part does not constitute an emergency on my part. So we have to be careful about that, brethren. And how we utilize the things that God has given us. Some people may think that's cruel, but it is exactly the principle the wise are living by, isn't it? I'm not going to let anyone take what is in my container. That oil is mine. I need it when I stand before the Lord. I'm not going to allow anyone to take that. Even brethren who may need it are not going to take it. They can't borrow it anyway. When they say no, these wise virgins, they're not failing to love their sisters, those foolish virgins. They're simply choosing to love God the most. That's the point. That's the point. Okay. One more very quickly. Matthew 25, verse 10 through 12. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Opportunities will end. They will. And you cannot recall a lost opportunity. You simply cannot do it. I mean it when I say, oft times during the invitation, I will remind people who are lost, you will remember this. And it's very possible that you could leave here, driving down the interstate, and die in a vehicle accident. You will remember these words and this opportunity that you had to obey the gospel. You will remember that for all eternity. Now, I don't believe in degrees of hell, but when I think about the rich man and Lazarus, what a terrible hell for that man to think his influence on his brethren back home was such that they're going to end up in the same place I'm in this place of torment. Because of what I... Let me go back. If I can't, let someone else, let Lazarus go back. No, they have the Word of God. They have the prophets. The Word of God. Let them listen to them. Opportunities will end. One day the door will be shut. A rich man was asked, what's the secret of your success? And he said, there's no easy street. You must jump at every opportunity. And the person asking said, well, how do I tell when it comes? And he said, you can't. You just got to keep jumping. And that's the point of this lesson. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. The roof of this building might split open. We might hear that call of the archangel and the sound of that trumpet this very night. The sky be bright as day. I don't know. It may be 1,000 years from now. I simply don't know. The five foolish did not purchase enough oil. They did not have enough faithfulness, righteousness, and holiness, and the door was shut on them. We're talking about brethren here. That's why this is so sad. And physical death, yes, you're going to die. Or the Lord's return is going to take place, and it's going to terminate all the opportunities that we have to be saved. It's also going to terminate all the opportunities you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when we sit here and we listen to a lesson, we think, boy, I'm going to do better this week. And then we don't do anything. And then we hear another lesson, I'm going to do better this week. And we keep going down that road. Right? Sooner or later, all those opportunities are going to be gone. The Lord's timetable is this. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So as we close the lesson, think about all those physical oil crises that you've seen in your lifetime. Think about long gas lines, if you saw that and experienced that. Think about those oil spills that have taken place. The environmental disasters that have happened. Think about the wars in the Middle East and maybe those prices per barrel going up, those oil wells burning. Think about how that affects us physically in our economy, how devastating that can be to us, our economy, the environment. But none of those things compare. None of them to what we've been talking about tonight. And let me assure you, we need to learn outward religious activities are not enough. Some things cannot be borrowed. Opportunities will end. I want you to think about the judgment. We're about to sing this song, number 320. So you think about the judgment and think about this, the horror of those who obey not the gospel. There are lost and dying souls that need to know about salvation. You think about that as we sing this song. You think about the cries of those who left their first love. What a terrible thing to go back into the world. You think about the shock of those who are lukewarm, and you think about the bitter sadness of these virgins, these foolish virgins who had some oil, but it was going out. It was not enough. And the door was closed. I'll tell you, that's sad. But it's something that we need to hear. It's something that we need to know, and the Lord wanted us to know through this parable. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. We all want to be wise. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. All of us want to be found
with plenty of oil at the Lord's return. We don't want to be like the foolish. We want to be like the wise. You're here tonight. There's only one place to have that. It's redemption by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's found in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7. We're made near by that precious blood, but the position is in Christ, in a relationship with Him. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. And we're reconciled, made at peace again in that one body. That one body is the church. Ephesians 1 verse 22 and 23. And He is the Savior of that body. Ephesians 5, 23. And we're reconciled in that one body by the cross. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And we're baptized into that relationship with Christ. But that's the beginning. Dear ones, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. And look, if you're pressing on and you're conformed to the image of His Son, let your heart rest and be filled with joy because you have plenty of love. Don't be foolish. Don't slip back into the world. We can help you in any way at all in your journey toward heaven, and let it be known right now.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.